Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands, lift your voices to the Lord? And just magnify Him for a few moments. Oh, that's it. Lift your voice to Him. He is so worthy. Praise God. Praise God. I want to say it's an honor to be here in Springfield, Missouri. Give honor to the McCoy family, such a great family. Love them dearly. Great friends of ours. He started talking about going to Texas Bible College together, and I started feeling real old. And that was a while back. Man, exciting times. And then also pastored about 20, 30 minutes apart. Never had one problem. Good friends, great time on the youth committee when I served there, and he was the youth president at that time, and we had record-breaking crowds, record-breaking giving, and that was all due to Brother Brian McCoy, your pastor, his leadership in the Texas district. So not only do you have a great pastor, but you have a great leader here. And you can't take that for granted, and do not look at that lightly. I travel all over the country, and that is not in place everywhere. Trust me. And if you don't travel, then just take my word for it. Trust me, it is not everywhere. You have a great man of God in your life to call pastor. And we're so thankful for Sister McCoy so she can keep Brian in line. And we're excited about that. And all of these kids, love them dearly. And believe in Harvest Ministries that you are going to have end-time apostolic revival. I feel a great spirit here, Spirit of the Lord, in this place this morning. I'm just going to obey the Holy Ghost, if that's all right. Can I do what I feel in the Holy Ghost? Matthew chapter 16. Starting with verse 24, Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse 24. It's good to have some fellow Texans in the house, Sister McCoy's parents, and then also more family. So my amen corner should be right here to my right. Not leaving out all you Missouri folks. I know you're going to get behind the Word of God this morning. And we are cousins somehow, some way. I could not explain it to you either. My grandma made the attempt one time, and I just said, you know, we'll just say we're kin. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, when you're there, say amen. The Bible reads, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I want to preach on this title. God wants you to die to self, so don't fight it. God wants you to die to self, so don't fight it. Can you put your Bibles down? Can you lift your hands to the Lord? Let's ask Him for His will to be accomplished. Lord, we come before You, asking You to move mightily, asking You to undertake and have Your way. Let Your purpose be fulfilled. Let Your will be done. I'm asking, God, that You'll pour out Your Spirit upon all flesh. Loose the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Loose the prophetic word in this house today. I'm asking that You'll minister to every heart, every soul. I'm asking, Lord, that You'll loose the angels of the Lord to minister unto the heirs of salvation. I pray, God, right now that Your will be accomplished. Your purpose will be fulfilled. We ask it right now in the name that is above every name, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you clap your hands unto the Lord and lift your voice to Him? Oh, come on, put your hands together right now and lift your voice to Him. He is so worthy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. We praise you. Oh, yes, 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 yes. La 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 maharia sha la 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 maharia karra la 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 maharia karra la 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 la. Praise God. Praise God. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I don't believe that Jesus came, robed Himself in flesh, died upon the cross, that we could one day become rich. I don't believe that Jesus came to give us Cadillacs and Bentleys, big houses and gold and silver. I don't believe that Jesus came to planet Earth so we could become millionaires. How do you know that to be true, Brother Bernardini? Because the world can get all of that stuff. I believe that He came to give us life and that we might have life more abundantly. I believe He was talking about walking in the supernatural. You know, I'm not against success, I'm not against progress, but surely Jesus did not have to die on the cross to make me prosper. I do believe that there are blessings that you can tap into if you are a giver of tithes and offerings. I believe there is a blessing that you can tap into if you give to widows and things of that nature. Like the Bible says, it will come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But as I search the Scriptures, I find where Solomon was rich before Jesus went to the cross. Abraham was rich before Jesus went to the cross. Jesus came to deliver us from sin and from death. Look at somebody here this morning and say, don't fight it. God wants you to die to your will. Death to my will, because my will sometimes is not God's will. So death to my will. You know, a lot in the church is going on. A lot in the church is happening. But a lot of what is not happening is dying to our will. It's not happening anymore where we die out to our own agenda. We're so busy trying to know Jesus and in the power of His resurrection that we forget to know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings. We want to get to the resurrection, and we want that resurrection power to operate and flow in our life, but we want to do that without going through the Garden of Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane is a place where our will is confronted. It is where our flesh is crushed, and where we begin to give up on our plans and our agendas and our ideas and our goals, and we start saying, not my will, but thine will be done. Can somebody say that this morning? Not my will, God, but thine be done in my world. The reason why we have so much attitude in the church, the reason why you can get cussed out by people in the back of the church, in the foyer, the reason why you can have people flip out on you and gossip about you and talk bad about you, is because our will has not died. We have no repentance anymore. There's no remorse. I know people have weaknesses, and I know people have faults and failures, and we fall prey to sin, but I'm talking about how now people have sin nowadays, but no repentance, no remorse whatsoever. Whatever they do, it's fine. They do whatever they want to do. I know this is old-fashioned this morning, and I know it's out of style, but we used to have an altar, a real altar in the church, and we weren't just sitting on it and talking, but we were throwing our sins on it. We were throwing our will on it. We were throwing our attitude on it. We were laying before before God and saying, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, O God. I am sick of myself, O God. I'm sick of my flesh. I'm sick of my temper. I'm sick of my attitude. I'm sick of my tone. Can we begin to pray these things now? Or is it so foreign to us? Can we say, fix me, O Lord. Cleanse me, O God. Sanctify me, O God. Wash me, Lord. Deliver me. Come on, somebody needs to quit fighting it this morning and say, death to my agenda, death to my purpose, death to my will. Have your way in my life. God, let your will be done. Let your purpose be fulfilled. Come on, I'm telling somebody, God wants to take you to a new dimension in the Holy Ghost. God wants you to die to your selfishness. Death to my selfishness. Death to, I've got to have it my way. Death to all roads lead to me. Death to, it feels good to me, and I don't care what I do to you. Death to myself. Death to what I want in life. Death to, I don't care what the pastor says. The pastor can't control me. I've got news for you this morning. The enemy Lucifer did not just attempt to overthrow God's throne, but he refused to be submitted to it. We are more like the enemy when we refuse to be submitted to God and his authorities than any other time in our life. I can never experience the next level of glory until I crucify myself, until I allow myself to be nailed to the cross, until I learn to take some stuff, till I learn how to endure some things, till I learn to hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, until I learn to pray through, till I learn when to sit down and when to stand up, till I learn when to talk and what not to say and when not to talk. Some fires you can't get out of. You got to go through some fires. You got to go through some floods. You've got to go through some tests. You got to go through some struggles so that you might decrease in order for him to increase. Somebody needs to jump to their feet and high five their neighbor and say, don't fight it anymore. There's some stuff that God's wanting you to get rid of. There's some stuff that God's wanting to change in your life. Come on, I've come all the way from Texas to give somebody a word. Don't fight it. You can't go to the next level with old baggage that you're carrying on to. You've got to get rid of that baggage. God is getting ready to take you somewhere that you've never been before, but you can't go with the stuff that you're holding on to. I'm talking about a new dimension in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about dying to yourself. Don't fight it. Death to your will and your purpose, because God's got plans for you in this church. Oh, lift your hands and begin to praise him right now. You can be seated. Hell is trying in the last days to enlarge itself. It is trying to attack like never before. There are spiritual attacks on the end time church. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Jesus even tells us that the gates of hell will come against the church. In the book of Revelations, Jesus talks about spiritual attacks within the body, within the church. The church has to be aware that there are many kinds of spirits that will come against it and identify as these main spirits, and they will try to attack the church, and we must be on guard against such attacks. There are several main kinds of spirits that are usually present, and they attack the church not on the outside in, but they attack from the inside. And they are the spirit of Absalom. They will divide and destroy. They will try to conquer from within. The Jezebel spirit will try to sabotage the purpose of God for the end time church. The Absalom spirit, the spirit will, it will be like Absalom. It will manipulate the people to rise up against the pastor through criticisms and comments, thereby arousing the feelings of the believers to feel and believe that the pastor is not doing his job. This spirit will use people who are close to the pastor, will try to influence their affections and alignment to the pastor, and when it is fully manifested, will rise up against the pastor, and then they will try to divide and conquer within the body. The spirit will create hidden rebellion and manipulation and influence. Their desire is to be in command and self-advancement and fault-finding, to create division and dispersion in the church. The Jezebel spirit, this spirit is like Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, who will turn people's hearts away from God, move them to follow false teachings and concepts that will turn the hearts of the people away from God. This spirit will use flattery and intimidation. It will try to form cliques and destroy the plans and the purposes that God has for the end time church. And all of these spirits will be judged by God in the end time. Absalom hung himself or was hung from a tree, and Jezebel was thrown down from out of a window. And in the end, God was victorious. I've come to tell Harvest Ministries here today, it doesn't matter what attacks, it doesn't matter what spirit tries to divide and attack. I want to tell you in the Holy Ghost right now that in the end, God will be victorious. Come on, I've come to tell you, it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, God will be victorious. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against you will prosper. I'm telling you, when God is on your side, you will not fall. You will not falter. You will not be able to quit. You will be victorious. God wants you to die to your own success. Lord, I want your will in my life. That should be our cry. Don't let me become so successful at doing anything that you can't move me to the next dimension. That should be our heart. Lord, if I can't handle the car, then don't let me have it. If I'm going to worship the car over you, then don't give it to me. If I'm going to stay at home on Sundays and I'm going to go golfing during service time, then, you know, Lord, I don't need that. If I'm going to worship the house that you're putting in my life, then don't give it to me. If I'm going to worship the job, Lord, then don't let me have it. I know it's not what you expected when you become a Christian, but don't fight it. Isaiah was an eagle-eyed prophet. He was the prophet of that age. He was the seer of his generation. And he could see thousands of years beyond his lifespan. He was the mentor of Hezekiah. Hezekiah looked to him for strength in the fight as the king of Judah. Fighting and dealing with the Assyrians, he looks to the prophet Isaiah as his compass. So he looks to him. Hezekiah is the king of Judah, and his reign brings about righteousness. If you study it it is astounding to see how he brought righteousness to the nation. He brought it in such a way that it is unprecedented. In 14 years, if you study it out, he tore down the groves and the idolatrous places that were built up all around Judea. He restored righteousness. He brought back holiness and pure worship such as the people had never seen in a very long time. Hezekiah stood for something. He brought order, he brought structure, he brought righteousness, he brought holiness to Judah. And he was very effective. He was excellent, and he was doing a tremendous job. He was at the height of what God had called him to do. And then all of a sudden, here comes his mentor, the prophet, to see him one day. And Isaiah comes in and he looks at Hezekiah and he tells Hezekiah, he said, "Hey, listen, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, you're going to die. And Hezekiah looked at him and said, die now? He said, you're kidding, right? Things are going too good. Look what all is being put into place. Look what's transpiring. Not now. Look at my record. Look at my background. Look at my holiness. Look at my righteousness. Look at all of this purity. Die now. You've got that wrong. They need me now. I don't want to separate now. I don't want to die now. All of this is indicative of the fact that Hezekiah does not believe that there's something on the other side that's better than where he is right now. And when you don't believe that God has something better for you, you fight change. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but somebody in this room, every time God gets ready to do something new and fresh in your life in prayer, you keep holding on to where you are at rather than releasing yourself to go where God is wanting you to go in the Spirit. And you are about to miss the greatest move of God that would ever happen in your life because you refuse to say yes to God. Let me tell you something that you can understand. Let me break this down for you. Hezekiah, it was his time to die. There was no question about it. The prophet was right on. Isaiah was a true prophet. He had not missed it. There was no question about it. Isaiah pronounced a death sentence on Hezekiah. It was over. It was done with. He turns around and he starts to walk out the door and he goes down through the courts. And as he's walking out of the court, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he began to pray. And he began to bring up his record. And when he brought up his record, guess what? The prophet kept on walking. He began to bring up his tremendous leadership and the prophet kept on walking. He began to bring up his holiness and the prophet kept on walking. He began to bring up how he had brought order back to the nation and the prophet kept on walking. But then he said, Lord, the grave cannot praise you. And when he said that, the grave cannot praise you, all of a sudden the prophet came to a screeching halt and God spoke to Isaiah and said, stop right there. Go back and tell Hezekiah that if he's going to praise me, then I'll add 15 years to his life. I want to tell you that praise is powerful to God. Praise gets God's attention. Anytime you want to get God's attention, I dare you to stop right where you're at and start praising Him. And the Bible says in Psalms 22:3 that God inhabits the praises of His people. That means wherever God's people are at and wherever they praise Him at, He will come in and He will begin to dwell amongst His people. Come on, I'm telling somebody right now, you need to begin to praise God like you've never done before. Why don't you jump to your feet and lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting? Why don't you enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise? I'm telling you, praise brings God's blessings. It brings God's favor. It brings God's deliverance in your life. Oh, high five your neighbor and look at your neighbor and say, I've come to praise Him. Come on, some of you ain't doing it. Why don't you begin to praise Him right now? Why don't you begin to worship Him right now? Come on, somebody needs to lift their voice above the rising tide, above the raging winds, above the white-capped seas. Does somebody got to praise for the Lord right now? I've come into this house to wear the garments of praise. I've come to magnify my God. Yes. Praise is so powerful. Praise will make God go to jail. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And all of a sudden, there became an earthquake. God said, if you're going to praise me, then I'm coming to the jailhouse. And I'm about to break you out. Does somebody need to be broke out of a situation that you're in, that you feel chained up, you feel shackled up? Come on, praise is what gets the attention of God. If you'll begin to break out in a praise session, all of a sudden chains will begin to fall to the ground. Shackles will begin to fall to the floor. Somebody needs to say, I'm about to praise him. I'm about to worship him. I'm about to magnify him right now with everything that's within me. I've got to praise for my God. Praise is so powerful. Praise will make God get in the fiery furnace with you. It'll make God walk around in the flames with you. All of a sudden they started praising him, and that's when they looked and said, I see a fourth man in the fire, and he looks like the Son of God. Is there anybody in the midst of a fiery trial? Is there somebody looking at a situation that's burning out of control? I've got news for you. If you'll begin to praise him. I said, if you'll begin to praise him, I'm giving you the key that's unlocking the door right now. If you'll begin to have a praise session with God, all of a sudden you'll find out that he's never left you. He's never forsaken you. He's there right there by you. He is as close as the mention of his name. Praise him, and God will reveal himself to you. Praise is so powerful to God. We've got to praise him. We've got to praise God even in the midst of harvest. Cain killed Abel in a time of harvest. That proves that sometimes brothers can murder in a time of harvest. Brothers can murder each other in times of revival. And it was all over praise methods. We've got to get praise right. Because when we praise him the way that he is wanting us to praise him, God begins to reveal himself to us in a dimension that we've never fathomed, in a dimension that we've never seen. And then we begin to enter even beyond praise, and we begin to go into worship. And in a realm of worship, there are miracles and supernatural things that transpire that we only dream about, like the book of Acts had, like our elders and forefathers had. I'm telling you, it's coming back to the church, but first we've got to get a revelation of what praise and worship can really do. Is there anybody that's ready to say, God, I've come to praise you like I've never praised you before. I've come to worship you like I've never worshiped you before. I've come to magnify you like I've never magnified you before. I'm going to get myself out of the way, and I'm not going to fight it anymore. And I'm going to die to my will, and I'm going to begin to praise you, and I'm going to begin to worship you like never before. You can be seated. Praise is a powerful thing. The only problem about this whole story, and it's very tragic if you begin to read to the very end, is Hezekiah praised his way into 15 years of grace. And yes, it is a very tragic thing that he did that. That extended his reign to 29 years. In the 15 years of grace that God had added to his life, he became so comfortable that he moved into carnality. He destroyed everything that he had done in the first 14 years. And sometimes it's not good to say someplace when it's time to go to another realm in the spirit. Sometimes it's not good to allow yourself to get stuck in a rut when it's time to go to the next level. Sometimes it's not good to hold on to where God was when it's time to go to where God is. Turn to your neighbor and say, something's about to happen. Things are about to shift in somebody's life here.
under the sound of my voice. God is about to bless you. God is about to restore you. God is about to heal you. But the problem with this text is when you start preaching this kind of stuff, we start thinking about moving geographically. And that's not what I'm talking about. God spoke to me last year about how he was moving a family from our church. They were a family that was troublemakers. He actually spoke to a prophet, and this prophet saw a prophetic vision of the father. As our church started praying, this man turned completely black from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. He looked like a shadow figure. And when the church started praying, he exploded into millions of pieces. And the prophet gave me a word and said, he is going to scatter every which way out of your church. And then the Lord spoke to one of my elders, and my elder called me and told me that this family was about to be removed from my church. And guess what? God did exactly that. But we start thinking, when we start preaching about this kind of stuff of going to the next dimension, the next place, we start thinking that God is going to move us geographically. We'll move from one part of the country to the next part of the country. We'll move from one job to the next job. We'll move from one church to the next church. We'll move everywhere except where God wants us to move the most. And we've got to understand, he wants to move our spirit, our heart, our attitude, and our disposition. But we keep moving our location and our luggage and our membership. And that's what not God is revealing. And if you don't get that right, then you're going to be messed up for the rest of your life. Sooner or later, you've got to stop jumping up and down and slow yourself down and allow for the Lord to speak to you and say, Lord, you're not trying to move me on my outside, but you're trying to move something in my inside. And it's not that I need to move geographically to a new location. It's that my heart needs to move to the right place. Why do we not move? I'm glad you asked. It's called the Hezekiah dilemma. That's what I call it. The Hezekiah dilemma. Every time God starts talking to us about going to the next dimension, we start shouting. Every time God starts talking to us about going to the next place in the spirit, we start running around the building. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't take me for something that I'm not saying. Every time God says, I'm getting ready to move you to the next level, we start dancing. Every time God says, I'm getting ready to take you beyond your wildest dreams, and I'm about to give you every prophetic word, we start rejoicing. And please don't take me for something that I'm not saying. I'm not against praise. I'm not against worship. I just preached it a few moments ago. But let me tell you something here in the Holy Ghost today. Dancing will not get you there. Shouting will not get you there. Rejoicing will not get you there. Clapping your hands will not get you there. Hollering will not get you there. But I dare for you to stand up and nail your flesh to the cross and say, Lord, I'm ready to go to the next level. Take out of me whatever you want to take out of me and put in me whatever you want to put in me. Lord, leave me by myself if you want me by myself. I'm saying yes to your will and yes to being lonely. Yes to being by myself. Yes to shedding the tears. Yes, Lord, to eating by myself. Whatever it takes to get to the next level. Lord, I'm ready to go. Somebody needs to jump up and high-five their neighbor and say, I've been here too long. I've been worried too long. I've been depressed too long. I've been weak too long. I've been jealous too long. I've been unforgiving too long. I've been angry too long. I've been upset too long. I'm saying no to myself and yes to God's will. Come on, lift your voice in the Holy Ghost for the next few moments right now. How can we be full of the Holy Ghost, ready and positioned to rebuke cancer, and we can't get over a grudge that we've held for so many years? The devil is a liar. I said, the devil is a liar. Lord, I'm ready to die out to what I am. And I'm ready to die out to where I've been. And I'm going to quit fighting it. And I'm going to die to self. And I'm going to give up dying. And I'm going to begin to do what you want me to do. We have gave up dying for dancing. We have refused to give up our will, and we've replaced it with worship. And that's why you can have people dancing all over the church and shouting all over the church, and Sister Lulu can't talk to Brother Sammy Jack Joe. That's why you can have people shouting at the front of the church and they're holding a grudge. At the same time, that's why we've got some folks who make so much noise because they keep dancing and praising God. And at the same time, we can't get them to the next dimension. They keep getting extensions and they keep getting furloughs. They keep getting extra time from God because our God loves praise and He loves worship. And yes, He is long-suffering, but we never use that time to make ourselves better. Because we've replaced it with praise and we've replaced it with worship, and we keep getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And the Lord said to me a few weeks ago, He said, I don't want you to have a revival until you die to self. Because it's easy to put on a mask and praise God, and at the same time, we've got all of this stuff in our hearts. We've got a heart condition. And God said, I want you to kill everything that's in my way. Kill everything that's hindering me. Kill everything that's stopping my people from going forward. Kill everything that's got them in a rut. Kill everything that's stopping them from experiencing my glory. He said, kill it. Die to self. You cannot change the world until you change yourself. You cannot change your circumstance until you change yourself. You cannot change this community until you change yourself. Something has to happen in your heart where your will begins to break and you begin to repent of your sins, and where your flesh gets nailed to the cross, and where you say, Lord, I don't care how many raises I get. I don't care how many promotions I get. I don't care how big my house is. I don't care what kind of car you give me. I'm not going to take anything for granted. I refuse to worship the gift more than I worship the giver. I refuse to worship the healing more than I worship the great physician. There is no cross-less Christianity. There is no cross-less relationship with God. Jesus said these words, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. When the dark clouds gather and when things come against you, you are walking the same path that Jesus walked. And it is then and there that you have chose to fellowship in His suffering. When Elijah called fire out of heaven, he didn't build a platform to preach from. He built an altar to pray at. Whatever it takes for me to be connected with you, oh God, I'm ready to go to the next dimension. Is there anybody here under the sound of my voice that's saying, I'm ready to go to the next dimension? Somebody right now needs to say, I am running out of time. I'm running out of excuses. I'm running out of games. Come on, I'm too old to play games. Come on, if you're going to do something for God, you've got to do it right now. If you're going to witness for God, you've got to do it right now. now. If you're going to serve him, you got to serve him right now. God said, I am tired of you being thirsty for stuff more than you're thirsty for me. He said, I'm jealous and I want you back. Come on, I want you praising me the way you used to praise me. I want you seeking me the way that you used to seek me. I want you calling on me the way you used to call on me. And I'm going to block up every blessing in your life until your soul says yes. Come on, shout all you want to. Dance all you want to. But until I get your attention, Hezekiah, you're not going to prosper. I'm not calling you to a crown. I'm calling you to a cross. I want you to crucify yourself. So don't fight it. I'm calling you to nail your flesh to a cross so your soul will leap out and say yes. Yes to your will, God. Yes to your word. Yes to your way. Yes to your power. We got it backwards. Every time God wants to bring us to the next dimension, we start worshiping and we start praising and shouting and dancing. And don't take me for something I'm not saying. That stuff is not against the word of God. It's biblical. But he wants us, before he takes us to the next place of revival, the next place of harvest, the next dimension, to get down and repent and nail our flesh and our will to the cross. Has this become so foreign to us in the church that we don't even understand it anymore? Matthew 16 and 24, and I hasten to a close. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus suffered too much pain for the church to end up acting like the world. He died and he went through too much agony for you to live like you lived before you got saved. He went through too much hardship for you to be the same person that you were when you were in sin. I wonder who will pick up the cross. And who will follow Jesus? I felt led in the Holy Ghost to preach this message because this church is about to experience an open door of untold, unprecedented blessings and harvest. But God is getting you ready and preparing you so you will not die in the spiritual journey and in the process, because you have built up something here in the Holy Ghost. And God is saying, if you will nail yourself to the cross and allow me to crucify you the rest of the way, then I will bring you into what I have for you. Things that you have dreamed about, visions that you have looked at. But until I can bring you there, saith the Lord, I want you to pick up the cross and I want you to follow me. God wants you to die to yourself. So don't fight it. Let the Lord bring you into the dimension that he is wanting to bring you into. Can we stand all across this building in closing right now? Can you reach over and grab the hand of the person next to you? And can you begin to lift your voice in the Holy Ghost? Come on, begin to lift your voice in the Holy Ghost right now. Ishanda koye ato kotoro, irianda karaha shaye ala lamaha, ira lamaha si. Hila mohoria shala lamaha. Can I tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost? And then we're going to close this out. The Lord just spoke to me
and said, tell this church not to pray intercession like they are birthing the revival that I am wanting to give them, because they have already birthed the revival through intercession. But he said to intercede and pray, to crucify yourself and die to your will, so he can allow for the revival to be even greater than you dreamed about. So he can allow for the vision to be beyond anything that you've even comprehended. So is there anybody that wants to pray here today like you've never prayed before? Not to birth something, because it's already been birthed, but to pray and die to yourself so you can decrease and he can increase. Can we step out from the back to the front? Can you come and find a place to pray around this altar right now? Come on, that's it. Come. Come on, that's it. Come up here with the mentality and the mindset. I've come to die out to my will. I've come to die out to myself. I've come to die out to what I want. And I've come to crucify my flesh. I'm not going to fight it anymore. God, whatever you desire. God, whatever you want. God, I'm asking for it to be right now. Let it come to pass. Let it transcend. Let it transpire. Let it right now. I call it, Lord, forth. Calling those things that are not as though they are. Deep calleth unto deep. God's calling us to a place where we're dying out to our own will and our own purpose and our own self, so he can bring to pass what he has in store for us. Oh, that's it. Lift your voice. Hirakoriashandalamo. Iriandakariashaye alalamaha.